Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of my two-part interview with former Navy chaplain Dr. Gordon Klingerschmidt, also known as Dr. Chaps. He's the Navy chaplain who voluntarily took a court-martial when ordered by the Navy to stop praying in the name of Jesus. He then took his conviction to Congress, and they ordered the Navy to stop that illegal practice and ordered them to reinstate his rank and privileges and to void the court-martial, praise God. But the battle he is fighting now is just as important. He's fighting against the legalization of marijuana. Many states are passing these legalization laws, ignoring the statistics, ignoring the health implications, and ignoring the gateway drug of choice to more dangerous substance abuse, all in the name of the almighty dollar. Now, if you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up. I don't have time to recap everything we covered yesterday. But today, I start off with having Dr. Chaps asking him what some of the implications are that Colorado has experienced from studying the long-term use of marijuana. Here is Dr. Chaps.
Candy-flavored marijuana, and it's still being distributed recklessly. And if parents leave it laying around, unfortunately, it does fall into the hands of children. We've also seen not only a spike in medical costs and a spike in homelessness and a spike in high school dropout rates. Teenagers lose their ambition. They will never be eligible to join the military if they had one puff of a marijuana cigarette. They will never be able to operate heavy machinery or be employable. So we have seen a dramatic spike in unemployment of young people when there's jobs available. But the workforce cannot be filled by people who are not sober. In fact, the Colorado Supreme Court has ruled it's okay for an employer to fire an employee if they come to work high or if they test positive on a drug test. So there are gaps in the employment structure where employers cannot find good employees because, you know, up to a third of the young workforce is now ineligible to operate heavy machinery or high technology. It is devastating to the economy, and there was a recent study by the Centennial Institute in Colorado who found that for every $1 of tax revenue that comes in from taxing the sale of pot, it costs $4.50 in social costs. And that is law enforcement has extra expenses. The social, I suppose the medical community has extra expenses. The education community has extra expenses, and teen dropouts of high school are way up. So $4.50 in costs for every $1 that the state raises, this is a net loser, and the government should not be willing to take the money, so to speak, because it costs society far more.
Yeah, wasn't that the main purpose in passing the permissive law, you know, to help raise tax revenue?
Well, that's an argument. I think that argument has now been defeated with hindsight. I think the cost to society far exceeds any tax revenue benefit, and it ruins young people's lives. It can ruin their health. You know, the human brain doesn't stop developing or growing until age 26.
That's right.
But we've found that marijuana users have long-term, I suppose, medical effects. And the brain scientists say that it alters the pathways of the neurons and decreases ambition, decreases performance, even sexual performance. People kind of fade out and they drop out and they tune out. And then they're lost to society. And, you know, we don't want the millennial generation sitting in their parents' basement for longer than they have to.
Right.
But when they become an addict, then they'll be sitting there forever. They become dependent on society. It's up to the parents and grandparents continue to care for them for their lifetime, or else they'll end up homeless and out on the street, as we've seen countless times.
Wow. The bill in the House, do you see it as passing anytime soon?
I think Nancy Pelosi will have the votes to pass it through the House of Representatives, probably by Christmas, is my guess.
Mm.
It then becomes incumbent on the United States Senate, under the leadership of Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, to decide if they're going to allow a vote on this. I say no, because if they do allow a vote, unfortunately, a lot of the lobbyist money has now found its way into state capitals like Denver or the national capital, where it's still a cash industry. Because of the difficulty in banking regulations against drug dealers, which I support, they are now passing literally stacks and stacks of $100 bills to their lobbyists.
Wow.
And those lobbyists walk around during session or after session. They contribute to the reelection campaigns of some corrupt government officials who are literally taking drug money so that they can run campaign commercials and get reelected.
Wow.
I say no.
Yeah.
We need to stand up to the lobbyists who are controlling legislators on both sides of the aisle, just about all Democrats, but now I think even a small majority of Republicans that I know in the Colorado State House have taken the deal, and they vote yes when I always voted no. Sometimes the record was 64 yeses and one no vote, and I was the guy who voted no because I don't take their money.
Yeah. I know some of the discussion here in Maryland, here in Baltimore especially, but the Maryland State House is saying that, you know, these enforcement laws impact the you know, poor members of society greater than it does the general population, you know, and it's more racist in the enforcement and all this stuff. Have you heard those arguments?
Well, I think, you know, you could say the same of crack cocaine or any kind of illicit drug. What we're trying to do is protect people of, you know, any skin color, but in particularly the urban communities where people become a slave to drug addiction. Drug addiction, especially narcotics, but now marijuana, you can say, create a owner-slave dependency relationship between neighbors. When one neighbor, who's a drug dealer, sells a product that is highly addictive to another neighbor who becomes his dependent, it creates a slave-owner mentality and relationship between the guy who's got to get his fix and will turn over all of his money, or sometimes women will turn over their bodies and trade in order to get their addictive substance, which they need every day just to feel okay, then the drug dealer becomes the slave owner. And what should government's role be in that situation? Should we enable that and even profit from it by taxing the sale, or should we step in and free the slaves? I am from the party of Abraham Lincoln. I happen to be a Republican. There are other people who may agree with the principles of Abraham Lincoln, and we need to end slavery in America by punishing, maybe not the addicts, but certainly the drug dealers need to be incarcerated and punished to the fullest extent of the law.
Amen. Amen. You know, some liberals claim that, you know, there's no scientific evidence that marijuana is as bad as what we've been told. Some actually claim it has health benefits. And I know the popularity of CBD oils and everything like that has probably pushed this agenda forward as well. What have you learned about the long-term use of marijuana, though? We talked just a few minutes ago, we hit some highlights on it, but what about CBD and how all that relates to it?
Well, the distinction, I think, is between the two main chemicals in marijuana. The CBD is also available from hemp oil that does not make you high. So cannabinoid oil may stop some joint inflammation, or may be a temporary painkiller, or may reduce anxiety. But you can get all that from hemp oil, which does not have the THC mm-hmm. that makes people high. THC is typically found in marijuana, not in hemp oil. And the marijuana is, it adds the very potent THC component that makes people high and makes it dangerous for them to drive. We've seen a spike in driving under the influence in Colorado, where 69% of all pot users admit to having driven behind the wheel while high. 24% admit doing so every day. So there is now a rise in traffic injuries, traffic fatalities from driving under the influence of marijuana. We have seen people, and it's really hard to test if you're a policeman who pulls somebody over, they're swerving on the road. Mm-hmm. You can't test it with a breathalyzer.
Nope.
So you have to do a blood test and wait 24 hours, and maybe by then it's out of their system. There's all kinds of Fourth and Fifth Amendment questions about whether or not you can force someone to take that kind of a test. So it's harder to enforce, and yet it's more dangerous mm-hmm. because people don't think that they're drunk, but they really are. It's yep. it's endangering to all of society, and it will cost even innocent non-users their lives in traffic fatalities.
Yeah, as a retired cop, you know, I've seen firsthand how getting high has led to car accidents and things like that. It's as bad as a drunk driver, like you said. And there is a specific charge for driving under the influence based on impairment from drugs or marijuana. And, you know, I've pulled people over and they failed all the field sobriety tests. I did not have the nystagmus. I did not have the detection of an alcoholic odor, but their mannerisms, it just, you know, something else is going on. So you arrest them, take them down, and they do the breathalyzer, and it's triple zeros. And then you have to call in the drug recognition expert. That takes, you know, they're on call, so it might take them half hour, 45 minutes to come in there. And it's a 2 or 3 hour process. Like I said, after he gets done the interview, then they take him down to the hospital. And they can refuse to do the blood test, but it's just like refusing to do a breathalyzer test. The automatic suspension goes into effect, and, you know, because when you sign, I don't know how Colorado is, but here in Maryland, when you sign for your driver's license, you agree to take these tests. But you do have the right to refuse, and if you do, then, you know, the suspensions are higher. But, you know, I've seen people that, you know, in my opinion, they were drunk. When I pulled them over, they're just high. And, you know, that leads to car accidents. And usually it's innocent people that get hurt in the car accidents and not the person who's impaired. You know, that's, it seems like if Congress wants to ignore that, they still want to push forward with this legalization concept. I don't understand that.
Well, they're caving into the leftist pandering to a younger generation of voters who doesn't yet have the information that we're sharing today about how they will be unemployable and lose their jobs and end up dependent in their mother's basement forever. The young people I know don't want that, but they do want the pot, but they don't see the connection.
Yeah.
So we've got to do a better job educating, and especially parents and grandparents who love their children dearly and want them to succeed in life instead of becoming ruined and dependent on others or even homeless.
Yep.
Another example we saw in the Colorado legislature was that parents of children with epilepsy or other seizure kind of disorders would move to Colorado in hopes that their children could receive marijuana-based treatment. And sometimes that helps. I don't think it's medically or scientifically proven, but people swear by it, and so they come here. But what happens is we had to adjust how marijuana is administered to such children when they attend public school. The last thing we want is that the special needs kid has to be the most popular boy or girl on the short bus because they have a lunchbox full of brownies, and they're passing it around to their friends in the form of what they say is medicine. But everyone else is getting high.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried to I brought an amendment to the floor of the Colorado State House to limit the THC content or potency in such, I suppose, edible form that is distributed to special needs kids. But the Democrats said no. They want maximum THC potency. They want to kids getting high in school, even if they're not able to distribute this to their friends. Even the epilepsy kids, some of their parents want them getting high in school because they think there are health benefits to this. I think you might as well keep them home. They're not going to learn as much in school. Yep. They won't be able to remember it, even if they're have some minor benefits. The major deleterious effect is that it ruins their brain.
Yeah, amen. I know in law enforcement we use a term called chasing the dragon's tail, and that just referring to it gets harder and harder to get that high. So therefore, it takes more and more to get that same level of feeling. What happens when the high does not come as easily anymore? What does the people out in Colorado think? Because will it lead to other illegal drug use?
Well, it's not just a gateway drug. It is the drug. It is the thing that ruins your brain cells and alters your body chemistry and your mental capacity. Unfortunately, I think now vaping has become the gateway drug, and you see President Trump has been talking about stopping the vaping epidemic, which is, I think, up to a third of high school kids are now into vaping, which leads to cigarette use and leads to marijuana use. And why do we teach our kids that pleasure is always the best thing with no consequences?
Yeah, right.
I think the Bible teaches us that in the end times, men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
Yeah.
And I think I'm really hopeful, actually, because there's a homeschool generation of young people who stay off drugs and they love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And they end up going on to, Patrick Henry College or Regent or Liberty University. And they become lawyers and doctors and pastors, and they end up impacting society in a very positive and healthy way instead of, I suppose, going the other direction. I'm very concerned about our public schools and the liberal pro-gay education that is being forced on children of many different faiths. But in public schools, the government schools are promoting all kinds of immorality, and our children are the worst for it.
Yeah, amen, amen. You mentioned some of the effects in the school and things like that that Colorado is experiencing with legalized marijuana. Has crime increased? I mean, you live there, you experience all this firsthand.
Yes. In fact, I'm running for county commissioner in Northeast El Paso County, which is Colorado Springs. And we've seen reports now. In fact, the voters are telling me they've seen firsthand. The crime epidemic out in the county, in the rural areas, where illegal grow houses are violating even Colorado law, where, they say you can have an ounce and you can't be prosecuted. Well, these people are growing up to 1,000 plants in a house. Perhaps I did not mention, the cartels come here from Mexico, and they buy a house, sometimes for cash, maybe $250,000 in the suburbs, and they will ruin the house by growing, they'll install electric lighting and grow indoors up to 1,000 marijuana plants in one house. They will sell it. By the way, it ruins the drywall, ruins the floor, ruins the electricity. The house becomes destroyed. But they will sell the proceeds for up to $7 million on the black market, not through regular retail shops, but literally the black market has exponentially grown after legalization. And they'll even export Colorado pot back to Mexico. Wow. Because our THC potency is much higher than what they could grow in the open field back home.
Wow.
So we are seeing the cartels take over different pockets of the rural areas, and the police, actually the sheriff's office, dares not go there because they're searching for a violent confrontation against the cartel, which is literally arming their rural stations with armed, I suppose, producers.
Yeah. Wow. Amen. So they're basically they can't do anything because they'll be outgunned if they go on the property.
Yes, there are reports. If you slow down on one of these rural dirt roads and you see a man standing in a field with a gun, just keep driving, because if you stop the car, you will get a bullet hole in your car door. They don't mess around out there, and there are some places where unless the police have a warrant and probable cause, they're not going to go out there looking for trouble when trouble already exists.
Yeah, amen. Well, I pray that this bill, when it reaches the Senate, would be like dead on arrival. If through some twist of fate that it passes the Senate somehow, prayerfully, you know, Vice President Pence and, you know, President Trump will get together and decide just to kill it once and for all. But then it goes back again to Congress and sees if they can override the veto. I mean, it's not a good situation to have this type of policy being pushed.
Unfortunately, Pelosi sees this as a vote getter for Democrats. We saw this in Colorado 6 years ago, where the people putting medical pot or even recreational pot on the ballot would take a poll. They would go door to door in poor neighborhoods, and they would ask two questions. Number one, do you support the legalization of marijuana? And if people said yes, they would get a second question. Would you like to register to vote as a Democrat? And they signed up so many independents to become Democrats using those two questions that it eventually moved the voter registration of Colorado, went from, I suppose, 40-40-20 to now almost 50% of voters are registered Democrats. And they have taken what used to be a split in the state house to a supermajority of Democrats in the state house. Yeah. And they will hold that probably for the next 40 years. If this is Pelosi's view of how to get young people to vote Democrat, then she has a different strategy, even if Trump vetoes the bill.
Yeah, amen. I mean, that's really the status of the state house in Maryland. It's about 70-30 percentage-wise, Democrat to Republican. And, you know, the Republicans will all band together and oppose something, but it's like their concerns are ignored. We don't even need you. You're just here because we have to have you here, type thing. And, it's not good. You know, the Bible discourages anything that dulls our senses and sensibilities. I can't see how any Christian could support this type of bill. But yet, it seems like the so-called, quote-unquote, Christians in the liberal churches and politics, they always end up on the wrong side of the Bible. You know, abortion, same-sex marriage, and now this. What is your organization doing to help get the word out about pushing back against this immorality? You talked about the petition drives. What else are you doing?
Yes. We have many resources on our website, prayinjesusname.org. Amen. Again, that's prayinjesusname.org. You can sign several petitions for pro-life issues, pro-Israel, religious freedom. And if you sign those petitions, we will fax them to Congress. Otherwise, on this marijuana issue, I encourage everybody to call their U.S. congressmen and both senators, and you can call the switchboard at Capitol Hill is 202-225-3121. Again, that's 202-225-3121. Ask to speak to your congressman and both of your U.S. senators and tell them, vote no on Pelosi's marijuana bill. Amen. And we need to wake up the people and get those telephones ringing into Capitol Hill.
Yeah,
there are also other tools available. I've written a book, which is available on my website. You can buy How to Liberate the World in 30 Days, a step-by-step guide to take back your country. So again, the title of the book, How to Liberate the World in 30 Days. It takes you 30 days to read it, but it may take you a lifetime to implement. But what we do is we teach 30 powerful political tools for grassroots activists.
Amen.
You don't have to run for office, but you can learn how to organize a petition drive and get your idea on the ballot. You can learn how to organize a rally and get 1,000 people to march on the governor's mansion, how to do fundraising for your cause, how to run for office and win a seat in the state legislature like I did. All these tools and many more are listed in our book, How to Liberate the World in 30 Days.
Amen.
Available on our website. Go to the online bookstore when you visit PrayInJesusName.org.
Amen. I would put links, all this, in the show notes. If someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question or do an interview like this, how can they get in touch with you? Through the website?
Sure. You can get through the website. Click on the contact button at PrayInJesusName.org. Or, since we have a national TV show, we're on 5 networks, we have a prayer line. People can call during daylight hours at 866-OBEY-GOD. It's a toll-free number, 866-OBEY-GOD, and our prayer partners are available to pray with you whenever you call.
Amen. Amen. And as I would put in links to all this down below, I want to thank you for coming on the program today. I do appreciate the stand you've taken for the Word of God and praying in Jesus' name and all that you've gone through for the Lord. I know it couldn't have been easy, but what you did and what you're doing now is impacting this world in a positive way. So as a former Army cavalry officer, I want to give you a hoorah for all that you've done.
Hoorah. I love it. Thank you so much. God bless you, Pastor Bob, and God bless your listeners today in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, keep up the good work. I'd love to have you back on sometime. Maybe we can discuss your case that you went through in more detail. I know you've gone over it 100 times with, more talk shows like Sean Hannity and others, but your story still needs to be told. We need to be reminded about what is taking place against Christianity in this nation today and the persecution that those who take a stand actually face. And your story is one that proves Jesus is worth it all in the end. Amen?
Amen to that.
So, folks, you need to check out Dr. Chapp's website again at PrayInJesusName.org. I'm putting the links down below in the show notes. So go to the online bookstore, look around, get his book. There's several other great resources on there as well, including resources that will explain his case and others on how to become a more effective Christian evangelist and others. So go to the links down below, check it out, and be sure to get in touch with Dr. Chapp. Amen. Doc, thanks again for coming on the program today. That is all the time we have for today. So for Dr. Gordon Chapp's Clinging Ship, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.